Acts chapter 13, we'll begin in verse 42. Now, just prior to this, Paul has been preaching to a group of people in Antioch. And this isn't the Antioch that they originally left from. This is Pisidian Antioch, which is in modern-day Turkey. And Paul has just explained to them, or he's just preached, that Jesus is the Messiah. And which was news to them. They had no clue. And so they've been very receptive to this message thus far. And we open with verse 42. It's actually a preacher's dream, okay? Would you stand with me as we begin reading in verse 42? It says, "And as Paul and Barnabas were going out," having just preached this message of Jesus being the Messiah, "as they're going out, the people kept begging them that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now, when they were meeting, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. While Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, 'It's necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. But since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today, thanking you for the privilege of looking into your word. And Father, I pray that you will take your word and open our hearts to your word, Lord. Teach us that we may grow in you. Draw us to you that we may know you. Lord, we just pray today that we hear from you through this text of this message, Lord. We pray your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, like I said, this was a preacher's dream, right? They had went through and they've been preaching Jesus as the Messiah, and the people of the synagogue there at Antioch grabbed onto it, and they're like, "Wow, we want to hear more. You don't ask preachers or you don't tell preachers, will you please come back and preach more to us?" Amen. You don't tell them because they're coming, right? As I said, it's a preacher's dream. The most interesting part of this is, having read it, you know how it turns out. They get ran out of town, right? They go from, "Oh, we love you," to, "We hate you," right? And at the ending, they're ran out of the region. But look in verse 52. Verse 52 says, "The disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." They've been ran out of town, but they're continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I want you to get. I think this is something that's missing in the lives of many believers today, is the joy and the filling of the Holy Spirit. That God is in control. And that no matter what's going on around you, that God's going to be glorified. I think we look at today many believers who, well, their spiritual life show on their faces, right? Let me just share with you right now. Your face reflects your spiritual position right now, okay? It really does. And today I want to share with you how you can have this joy, this Spirit-filled joy when it's hard. Okay? Because, beloved, if you're saved and if you're serving the Lord, there's going to be times when it's hard, right? But that doesn't mean that you're going to be bogged down in the difficulty or the persecution. That means that we should still have that spiritual joy that these disciples had, even when it was difficult, right? So the question we're going to answer today is how do you be filled with joy, and how do you be filled with the Spirit when you're around some ugly people? You know, the world would be a great place if it wasn't for people, right? Well, we have to be aware of people. And you can't understand, I'm kidding, right? We love people. But the first thing you have to do is you have to be aware of people. Specifically, you have to be aware of how people are and what they're capable of, right? In the text, we started with today's praise. Paul and Barnabas, they have preached the word, and the people have just made over their message and said, oh, we love it. And we loved it so much, we want you to come back next Saturday, which was the Sabbath, and preach to us some more. And as I said, you don't ask any preacher that, but you especially wouldn't ask Paul that and expect him not to come, right? So they're begging, and Paul agrees, and it's not just, okay, we want you to come back next Saturday. This is so much so that they're following Paul and Barnabas around during the week. They're wanting to hear them, what they have to say daily. And it says that Paul and Barnabas encouraged them to continue in the Lord and the grace of God throughout that week. So everything is just wonderful until next week, when on next Saturday, the Sabbath, something very interesting happens. You see, they were so excited about what Paul had to say that they told everybody in the community. They spread the word. Listen, you got to come hear this guy. He's talking about the Messiah, and the Messiah has already been here. He has a wonderful message. Y'all have got to come here. And so what happens? Well, when you spread it through the community, everybody says, okay, I want to come hear this message. And so they did. And when they did, the Jews saw the crowd, the Bible says, and they were filled not with joy or the Holy Spirit. They were filled with what? They were filled with jealousy. Right? Here's what you've got to understand about people. Don't get too excited when everybody's praising you today, because tomorrow is a different day. Right? And today's praise can turn into tomorrow's persecution. And a matter of fact, it probably will. Now, I'm talking about to everyone in this service who are going to serve the Lord. I'm talking about pastors. I'm talking about associate pastors, youth pastors, seniors, pastors. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers, deacons. I'm talking about everyone who's going to serve the Lord. You're going to be praised today, but tomorrow may very well be a different story. And the interesting thing is, it'll be the same ones who were praising you today will be the ones that are persecuting you tomorrow. And you have to be ready for that. You see, when they saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. And you have to understand what jealousy is. That's not a good thing. That word literally means greedy longing for something that does not belong to you. It's what it means to be jealous. These Jews saw the crowds coming and they thought, hey, this is our synagogue. They should be coming to hear us, not this guy, Paul. And so what do? And when Paul starts to speak, it says they start to contradict what Paul was saying. Now, that's to oppose and to speak against. And it wasn't that Paul was saying anything wrong. It was that they're going to be opposite of Paul no matter what he says, because they want to look like the big shots in this crowd. So that maybe they can win those people and they'll come back next week and hear them. It even goes to the point where it says that they were blaspheming. Now, the first thought of that is when you think of blaspheming, you think of blaspheming God. But that word literally means to slander someone or to defame someone. I think the ones that they were blaspheming, these were very religious people, you understand. And Jews, you know, they would really hesitate to literally say something that would be disrespectful about God. Now, they may have said something that was disrespectful about the Messiah of which Paul was speaking, but I think it was more personal. I think it was very much pointed at Paul. They would have probably said something like this: yeah, Paul, we know who you are. You're that star student of Gamaliel. You're that one who was a part of the Sanhedrin. You were the big shot, and you forsook the faith of your forefathers. You joined up with this group of the way they call Christians, Paul, and you have turned your back on everything that you've been taught. You can just hear the bitterness, the hatred, if you will. This went from wonderful to very ugly in a short period of time. How can you be filled with joy and the Holy Spirit when that happens? And you have to understand, are you listening? If you serve, you're going to see this. Does not matter where you're serving, you're going to see this. And so Paul at this point has to make up his mind. How am I supposed to respond to this? Here's how you respond. Second point, you refuse to be bitter. I'm going to say that again. You make up your mind, you refuse to be bitter. See, it's like this big old trap that Satan sets before you, and before you know it, you will be sucked in this trap of bitterness. It will affect your attitude, it will reflect your action, it reflects everything about you. Paul said, and Paul's making up his mind, or he's got to say, okay, how do I respond to this? First, Paul addresses his obligation. He says in verse 46, okay, Jewish people, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. I have done that. And since you refuse it and you consider yourself unworthy of eternal life, I will turn to the Gentiles and I'll tell them about the Messiah of Israel. What does Paul do? He walks away. And he goes over to the Gentiles who are receptive to his message. Okay? I'm going to share with you. Bitterness is a horrible thing. And it will disrupt you and it will disrupt your ministry. And the longer you try to address and fight and oppose bitterness, the more bitter you will become. The more you're around it, the more you hear it. That's why Paul turned his back from the Jews at this point. He had a choice. He could stay and fight. He could return bitterness for bitterness, insult for insult. He says, no. This is not what I'm called to do. I'm moving on. I'm going to the Gentiles, which was Paul's resignation to the Jews, right? He refused to waste his ministry on bitter people who refused to be changed. Now listen, you better know how to do this. There's one thing I've always, as a pastor and as a church member, I've always wondered. How do people become bitter? And there's plenty of it in churches today. They become bitter by spending their lives in ministries quarreling with bitter people. Okay? You can't, it's kind of like dirt. You fall in a mud hole, you're going to come out muddy. You fall in a pit of bitterness, you're going to come out bitter. You need to be able to say, whoa, I'm not wasting my time here. This is not what God called me to do. This is not what God called me to be. You say, well, Brother Doug, aren't you supposed to love them? And yes, you can love them and leave them. Amen? You can love them and leave them. Because it's like this. Have you ever tried to hug a rattlesnake? You say, that's just dumb. You're absolutely right. If you try to hug a rattlesnake, what's he going to do? He's going to bite you. It's the same concept with bitterness. Day after day, if you try to hug that rattlesnake, eventually that snake's going to bite you. Now, here's the challenge. This would be where we stop and we take a self-examination for all of us. If there's any bitterness, listen, you better stop, confess it, and repent of it and turn from it. Because it will ruin your ministry. Don't waste your ministry by playing with the snakes. Not only will it ruin your ministry, it will rob you of joy. See, I think that's what's happened to our country today. It's been so bitter for so long. People hating people and fighting people. And look where it's got us. Look where it has us. Yes. We have the responsibility as God's children to stand against evil and to declare God to the people. And if that's offensive, they can be offended, right? But we should not kindle bitterness, neither in the church nor in our community. And the reason is, you see, bitterness not only robs you of joy, bitterness hinders the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Are you listening? Bitterness will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Read verse 31. Let all, what's that word? Bitterness and, what's that word? Wrath and what? Anger and be put away from you. Along with all malice. That phrase, be put away, was a nautical term. It was a nautical term that was used for a ship to what they call weigh anchor and depart. Pick up the anchor and leave. He says, you know, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by spending your life, your ministry being bitter, being in wrath and anger and clamor and slander, talking about people negatively. Put it away. He says, take up your anchor and sail away. Because there's no joy in it. There is no joy in that. It's spirit killers. Paul's saying just very simply, and Paul wrote that in Ephesians also, he's saying get out. Don't burden yourself with bitterness. The result? Look what happened, because Paul said, listen, if you Jews want to fight, y'all fight. I'm going over here and I'm going to deal with these Gentiles. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And look what happened, verse 48, as many as believed were appointed into eternal life. Now, I have to address this because some of you are going to ask it. In the Greek, literally, this has become a major topic of debate, right? In verse 48, it reads like this: as many as have been appointed to eternal life believed. Literally, in the Greek, it reads like this: as many as believed were appointed into eternal life. Okay? That's what it says. Now listen. Listen. Well, that's a whole different ballgame. We'll get into that another day. Okay? But here's what I will give you. God is God. Okay? Doctrine of election that is preached in the Bible. There is a doctrine of whosoever will that is preached in the Bible. Right? Both work. It's God. You don't have to justify either one. I believe that God's Word is God's Word and it's always right. Right? And so I don't have to justify anything when it says God appoints people to eternal life. When it says the names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, I don't need to justify anything. That's God, right? But I also know this, that the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? Right? Salvation is for all, right? So I want you to understand, we get hung up on that stuff like appointed and election, and I don't think that's ever been the point. You got to understand God's God, and you will never wrap your mind around everything that God does, because His ways are not your ways. He's so far above us. But the wonderful thing, back to the topic, the wonderful thing that happened here in verse 48 is that the Gentiles were saved. In verse 49, it said the word spread through the whole region. How did that happen? Because Paul was not willing to spend his life in bitterness with bitter people. Here's what you got to do. You have to be wise as a child of God. Jesus told us, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Right? How do you be wise? Number one, you don't allow yourself to be used by other people. Especially the bitter people. The amazing thing here was Paul and Barnabas separated from the Jews and they started preaching to the Gentiles. And you would have thought, well, that should have satisfied those Jews. Right? That should have made them happy. But no. See, they didn't want Paul just to stay away from them. They wanted to hurt Paul. That's where bitterness goes. They want to hurt Paul. They want to ruin his ministry. They want to tear him down. So what did they do? It says they incited devout women and important men of the city to rise up against Paul. That word incite, it means to inflame feelings of passion. Do you know how to incite somebody? We'd call it pushing their button. See, that's what these Jews did. They went to devout women and they pushed their button. They went to the city leaders and they pushed their button. They knew how they would respond and they gave them that reason to respond. That's what bitter people do when they start gathering their army. See, they'll call this person and that person. Call this deacon and that deacon. They'll call this group and that group until they go through everybody trying to find someone that'll get on board with the bitterness with them. That's what they do. That's why I say, do not allow yourself to be used by such people. You see, they'll go around and they'll say things like, you know that preacher's trying to run the church, right? You know those deacons, they're trying to run the church, right? You know that youth director, that music director, he's trying to run. We know that Jesus is the head of the church, right? So when you hear somebody that is not Jesus is trying to run the church, what's your first thought? I'll put a stop to that. We'll run that person out of town on a rail. That's what they used to say back in the good old days. That's what they did to Paul and Barnabas here. And they used, it's interesting, they used good people. It says devout people. That word devout is religious people, God-honoring people. When it says devout ladies, these were good ladies. And they pushed their button. They got involved. They were going to run Paul and Barnabas out of town. Then they moved on and they got the city leaders, did them the same way. What am I saying? I'm saying be careful, because bitter people will try to use good people to accomplish their bitter purpose. We have to be wise. I can hear the accusations now. Yeah, that Paul, he's trying to tear down the Jewish religion. He's trying to take over our synagogue. He's trying to do... Don't listen to such. Second thing you do, be wise, number one. And don't be used, but don't be a politician. How many of you love politics? There's a couple. God hasn't called you to be a politician, right? Look at what Paul did. He shook the dust off his feet. He said, he took his sandal off. I'm not going to do that. But that was a Jewish sign or a Jewish symbol saying, I want no part of you. The dirt of this area, the very dirt, is defiling to a man. I'll have no part of you or who you are and what you do. That's what he did. And it's interesting in that at any point during this process, Paul could have backed up and said, you know, these Jews, they're still God's people. And they were. These Jews, you know, they built this synagogue. We need to afford them a little more respect. We need to give them a little more of what they want. We need to recognize them and make them feel important. We need to do... Paul never done that. The reason was because he was not a politician. If you ever get into politics, it will drag your attention away from focusing on where God is leading. And the reason is, you'll start worrying about what are people saying. You ever thought about the? Have you ever found yourself worrying? I know they were talking about me. Have you ever caught yourself doing that? Have you ever looked at people and thought, by the look in their eye, what were they thinking? I know they were thinking something. What were they thinking? You'll be worried about what people want. And when you get too worried about what people are thinking, what people want, and all that junk, you stop thinking about what God wants. My friends, we have one master. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? You see, if you keep Him the center of your focus, if you seek to please Him, you're going to do it right. And you have to be okay with somebody's not going to be happy with me. You got to be okay with that. Right? Hard to do. But you got to be able to smile and say, well, I'm doing what God called me to do or God led me to do. That's up to them, right? But you cannot let that ruin your attitude and get you focused in bitterness, because it will destroy who you are. When I meet people, when I talk to people, I want them to see a face of joy, don't you? I want them to see a smile. I want them to see a pastor who truly loves the Lord. I don't want to grow into this old bitter pastor that don't like anyone or anything, you know. We've got to be wise. Then finally, we've got to be wise enough not to quit. Do not quit. I've told you in the beginning, this is coming. If you've never experienced it, hold on. You will. I promise you, as you serve. And the ones that are saying, oh, you're doing such a good job today. Man, tomorrow you'll do something that doesn't set well with them and in its own. Yeah. But you never, 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 did I say never? You never quit. It's too easy to get discouraged and let them win. The reality is it's attack from Satan. It's a spiritual battle. You know, you're not fighting a person. You're fighting Satan. And we don't let Satan win. And look what happens when you see it through. When you stay, you know, as Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. That's what I want to be able to say. Look what happens. They run Paul out of town. Paul gets up, moves on to chapter 14 to a place called Iconium. And guess what? 14:1, a large number of people believe, both Jews and Gentiles. Isn't that awesome? Why? Because, okay, they kicked him out of Antioch, but Paul said there's always an Iconium. Guess what? Iconium goes south too. And he moves on to a place called Lystra. Oh, they love him at Lystra. But then, guess who shows up? Folks from Antioch that just ran him out, they show up at Lystra. And guess what they do? They stone him in Lystra. And guess what Paul does after he's stoned? He says, I've had enough of this. Not going to do it anymore? No, he didn't say that. He got up, he encouraged the saints that were there, and he went to the next town and preached the gospel. You see, you've got to understand there's no quit in the service of God. That's why you have to know how to handle bitter people. There's nothing better than being around people who truly have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Don't you love to be met by those people who smile? Oh, it's so good to see you today. How you doing? And they have that smile. And you can tell they genuinely, genuinely care. That's the people that I want to be around. Not those big old sour faces that you can tell they're critical about everything and everybody, and you included. There's no joy there. I want to be the Barnabas, the encourager. I want people to be glad they've been around me, not sad that they've heard bitterness coming from me. You may be here today and I preach this message. You may be going through a time that's particularly difficult. And you're about had all you can take. Listen, let me give you the good news. God's not finished with you yet. How do you know, Brother Doug? Because you're still drawing breath. Right? I do believe when God finishes with us, He takes us home. God's not done with you. There's still joy. There's still joy for you, servant of God. But Brother Doug, it's hard right now. I understand that. Right? There are mountains and valleys. Hang in there. Do not quit. Do not give in. But Brother Doug, I'm around bitter people. That's okay. You turn your back on them and you look at where you can be effective in the Lord's service. Don't waste your time with bitter people. Don't do it. Because there's not a shortage of bitter people today, are there? Perhaps you just need somebody to pray for you. I would count it an honor. The staff will be up here. They would count it an honor. Other members of Victory would count it an honor. It's whatever you need today. Will you come during this invitation? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Will you come during this invitation? Jesus loved you so much, He gave His life so that you could have everlasting life. He paid for your sin, and He invites you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you come in this invitation? And maybe you just need to come by yourself and spend time at the altar. Whatever your spiritual need is today, you understand this, there is joy in the Lord. Amen? And you want that joy, you look for it in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we praise You. Thank You, Lord, for the day, for the privilege of looking into Your Word. And may we never, as Your people, as Your servants, may we never give in to the pitfalls of bitter people. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We do pray, Lord, for those bitter people. I pray that You will bring them to repentance, that You will use them, Lord, for Your glory, and that they would turn from that bitterness and come to You. But Lord, also pray for those that are in service today that may be discouraged. Because somebody said something, done something that shouldn't have been done. Father, I pray for their encouragement. Help them to realize that there is joy in You. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, as we come to this invitation, I pray Your will be done. You know the needs of every individual. Lord, Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.